join pharmacists and educators.
Love Talk Radio.
Insight Health Radio Show at a new time, Monday through Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Tune in for the latest information on nutrition and cutting-edge solutions to your most pressing health problems. It's the Invite Health Radio Show with pharmacist and educator Jerry Hickey at a new time, Monday through Friday mornings at 10 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's all-new health and wealth network. AM 1470, with even more information you can use. It's everything you need to know about internet marketing, search engine optimization, and website design. Don't miss the Internet Business Hour, Saturday afternoons at 2, right here on AM 1470 WNN.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Happy, healthy, and wealthy. Follow the American dream. On South Florida's AM 1470 WNN.
Expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. This is the Rockers in Recovery radio show, dedicated to news, interviews, events, and festivals taking place in the rock and roll industry and in the world of bands and musicians who support recovery. Find out more by going to HolisticLifestylesRadio.com or join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Now, the host of Rockers in Recovery, here's John Hollis.
Welcome to Rockers in Recovery, and of course, that's Christine Ullman. Christine Ullman will be coming up here in a little while to have a good show with us. We're going to have her on for about an hour. We're going to be talking all kinds of great stuff, because Christine and me, when we get to talking some good stuff. And that song right there happens to be On the Deep End, the new CD by Christine. And she did it with Dion. And let me tell you, man, when you listen to that whole song, I am like, you know, being a recovering addict, I have some addictive behaviors. I'm just replaying that thing over and over and over again. It's the best song I've heard produced in a really long time. And I got to tell you, man, with Dion's voice in there, it was just amazing. And we'll have Christine Ullman coming up here in a little bit. We got my buddy Tony, though, who's on the line with me. Tony, it's been a long time. And, you know, we were contemplating earlier in while we were talking on the phone about a reuniting in Chicago for this year's Clapton's Crossroads Guitar Festival, which is probably not going to happen for either one of us. But we're going to have to get together sooner or later, dude.
Yeah, when God sees fit, right?
Isn't that how it works?
Yes, the signs are not there for us to be together at the end of June.
Hey, it's going to be a good show, though. Do they know who they're do they have any headliner? Well, I know they always got headliners, but who's some of the people that are playing, you know?
It really seems like a repeat performance of 2010, to be honest with you. I see nothing too much different, so... For the addict side of me, I feel like I'm not missing anything.
There you go. Good man.
That's all already, so I don't need to get back there.
Yeah, we already seen that.
Again.
Well, not unless they, like, slip something in at the last minute on us. Then we'll probably
They might. You know, they might do that, but it's the same top performers. You know, you're going to get ZZ Top again, I'm sure. You're going to get Buddy Guy. You'll get John Mayer. You know, you'll get the standard Eric Clapton invites the best, you know.
Oh, yeah, man. Cream of the cream, bro. Can't get any better. What we've seen last year was just unbelievable, man.
Yeah. I tell you what, I still, every once in a while, reminisce. I have the DVD. I still have my photographs that need to be edited, half of them. So it's a work in progress.
Actually, you know, something that was funny, you know, I was waiting for some of those pictures. Yeah. I keep saying to myself, you know, Tony will get to it.
Hey. Somebody just wrote me an email and said, as long as we get together and do this before we're in another place getting together in the afterlife, it'll all work out. So be it.
It's good stuff. Hey, listen, what's on the agenda? I mean, it's been a long time since we talked, and let me just give you a little bit of a breakdown on how me and Tony met. June 26, 2010, we were up in Crossroads Guitar Festival, and I'm standing on the riser for people that had press credentials, and here we are. We're standing side by side, and one thing leads to another, and we end up finding out that, you know, of course, we're both friends of 12-step organizations, and at that point we hit it off and kind of hung out for the rest of the day together. But it was so cool because here you are, I'm, you know, 1,600 miles or 1,400 miles away from where I live. He's at least 1,000 miles from where he lives. And here we are on common ground no matter what. It doesn't matter where you meet somebody, man. It's so cool that when you belong to a fellowship that you can be anywhere at any time, and when you meet somebody, it's like you've known them your whole life almost.
Yeah, and there's I'm sure there's more friends out there that we haven't met, right?
Absolutely. Do you believe, I mean, now, when you decided that your recovery was where you needed to go with your life, because, I mean, listen, we all come to the end. It's either jails, institutions, or death, but we all come to the end. And when we get to that end, Tony, you know, everybody does it kind of, you know, differently. It all comes to a crashing halt. But, I mean, what happened for you in particular?
Well, my bottom, you know, when I tell my story and I go right back to that dark and gloomy place, I just really... Isolation, you know, that was me. My excitement was getting back to the house and locking myself in the house for days on end with whatever supplies I brought back to the house, and it was pretty dark. I was living in Tampa, Florida. I knew the bank was coming at some point in time to foreclose on the house. But, you know, that's inevitable, and you don't pay your mortgage for 6 or 7 months. And it was dark and hot because it was June. It was June. With no AC because
in Tampa.
The AC was broken, and eventually I stopped paying the electric bill. So for a short period there, until I found some people into paying the bill for me, there was not even any fans, and I was like plugging an extension cord into my neighbor's power outlet. And every once in a while, I'd get some juice to play the stereo. You know, that was an excitement beyond belief. And that was it. You know, that's what it came down to. I would spend whatever time inside that house going out and foraging for whatever I needed coming back. And at night, I'd light candles. And then at the end of the night, of course, on the carpet with the headlamp on, you know, searching for whatever remnants were there. And that's where it went. And I can't tell you except somebody extended the offer for help, and I was ready. And that was my brother. I had a sister and brother-in-law who lived in Orlando, and they had, you know, one fell swoop, they just said, look, you can either stay here and rot or be out in the street, or you have an opportunity to go into treatment again and try this. And I was tired. I was ready. didn't even know I was ready, but, you know, I took a drive with them to Orlando, got in the plane the next day. I slept on my dad's couch for a few days and then ended up in treatment for a long time, long-term, little place in Blairstown, New Jersey that I didn't know existed near my hometown, about 15 minutes from my hometown, actually, and spent 11 months at this facility called Little Hill Alena Lodge, where their slogan is where hope can become fact. And, I believe that today. I didn't know it when I got there. And I got everything I needed. You know, I was taught how to live one day at a time. I was taught to take care of myself and do the things that I wasn't able to do for a long time. I had to relearn that kind of stuff, you know, how to get up in the morning, brush your teeth, make your bed, you know, respect others, you know, all the stuff that you know we get to relearn when we recover. And I'm still trying to do that today.
Well, I think you know something when you talk about this, Tony, at the very beginning, it's really important that you mention that, because I got to tell you, man, my whole life was just geared around one thing: the ways and means of getting more. So I didn't really care about hygiene. I didn't really care about anything else. The only thing I cared about was me and getting mine.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, what you're talking about is very interesting in the fact that, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, recently we had somebody contact us from the life skills program here in the jail, and there's guys that are in the county jail that are down here that listen to this show on a regular basis. And, you know, nothing like having a captive audience, huh? But one of the things that I can understand is that they're in a life skills program. And when I came in and I, you know, I finally made that decision to you know, choose in, I got to tell you, man, I was like, it was like all new to me. For my first month, I was babbling, man. I was just slobbering on myself. I really didn't even, you know, it was like people were just pushing me in a direction. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I was not doing anything on my own without direction.
Yeah, it was it. And I think that when you think about the fear aspect of this, because there's a lot of fear and apprehension in the fact of what am I going to do if I can't use? Well, it isn't so much that I can't use; it's the fear of what are you going to fill that void with?
Yeah, that was the biggest thing in terms of the denial of being able to enter into recovery was what am I going to do if I don't drink and drug, because that's what I do all the time.
Uh-huh.
There's no way that all the activities of my life are going to go on without me doing that. And, you know, as you know, I'm a drummer. I've played for years. And, you know, I couldn't imagine ever doing that without being drunk or high. That's what I did for 25-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I had a lesson in recovery at this rehab I was in. They did a beautiful Christmas show, and that was the first time in over 25 years that I had played sober, and I was scared shitless. But it was one of those spiritual experiences where I realized at that moment that if I can do this, I can pretty much, you know, I can do anything.
Right. And that faith, and understanding that you could walk through something and come out the other side is just remarkable. As you're, I'm sure you weren't thinking, well, you know, I'm just going to have faith and walk through this. It was coming out the other side of it that you said to yourself, wow, you know something? This was pretty cool. This wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No, I didn't have much faith. I was very hopeless, you know, without a doubt hopeless, and did not have any kind of faith. And my idea of what was going to happen in recovery was I was going to meet with a psychiatrist. He was going to prescribe some kind of medication for me, a pill, because that would be easy to take like once a day, and then I wouldn't drink anymore. And when somebody told me that wasn't going to happen, I got skeptical again. But I just hung in there. This guy used to tell me every night at the rehab when I would want to leave, that, can you just stay until 11 tonight? You wait until tomorrow again. How you feel. And I did that for a while, and eventually things changed, and I wanted to be there.
You know, I was a runner my whole life, and ran from everything that I could possibly run from. And so when I finally, you know, chose in again, I think we have to come to a point in our lives where we have to make that choice. Nobody else can make that choice for us. We have to make that choice. If we're going to choose in or choose out, what is our choice today? When I finally made a decision to choose in, one of the things that took place for me is exactly what you're talking about is, you know, I hit that wall of denial for that first month. Well, you know something, maybe it isn't that bad. Yeah, you know something, maybe I could just go buy a 20. Maybe I can, you know, that mind, until you start to understand and you start to clear up and you start to put together the pieces that, wow, every time I used, I had consequences. Every time I used, I got arrested. Every time I used, problems occurred. Now, when you take away the use, yeah, I still had a manageability. It didn't just, like, change and reverse itself. But anytime there was major consequences, it was all due to my drinking and my drugging. Would you agree on a first step that that's the case in your life?
Oh, without a doubt. Of course, I didn't see that until other people kind of gave me some great examples and said, you know, why don't you write some of that stuff down? Why don't you take a look at it? And they were doing this in my first month, you know, while I was at the rehab, and I had never done that before. And when something about putting that stuff down in writing, the insanity of what we do over and over and the consequences that just kept coming and coming. And, you know, it was like picture book alcoholism and drug addiction. I mean, looking back, I can say it today. But, you know, it all, like, fell in sequence. Things fell apart. They got worse. I drank to forget about it. I drugged to forget about it. And I never took care of any of those problems. I just created more every time that I would pick up. It didn't get better. It got worse. And you know, when you start to look at the word is truth, you know,
yeah.
Getting honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't lie about it anymore. Because that's what I did for a long, long time. You know, somebody would tell you, you know, you need to go to treatment. You're an alcoholic. Ah, what are you talking about? You know, I'd boast. Yeah, I'm an alcoholic. I love to drink. This is what I do. That's who I am. It's my identity. But, you know, never put it in the light that it really is. Like you're saying, the consequences, really look at them for what they are. And I think when I heard other people share their experience about their realization with a bottom and consequences and how their lives actually, you know, you get to the next point of the story, which is, you know, strength and hope of what happened to them in their recovery, then I was willing to say, well, let me just give it a shot. You know, even if, you know, that one day at a time concept really came in, even if I just hang in there for one more day and maybe I'll see things getting a little bit better and maybe tomorrow I'll feel a little bit more different about this. I might have a seed of hope that I could, you know, could stop drinking and I could, you know, get a life.
You know, I hung on the fact for a long time and maybe you can relate to this, that this too shall pass.
Yeah.
And I still do today. I mean, that's when I hit that turbulence in life that everybody goes through, I fall back on this too shall pass, and I have faith in that now because I've seen it pass so many times.
And the reality for me, and I'm sure it is for you too, is that nothing is ever going to be as bad as when I was out there.
Oh.
It can't be because when I go back to that house in Florida in my mind, in the dark, with the headlamp, and wet my ass off and you know, just living that kind of existence. I also go back to the coming to or waking up on a daily basis with the same thought. And I hear my neighbors getting ready for work, you know, 6:30 in the morning. And I'm dreading the clock ticking, you know, I'm looking at the clock. And I'm hearing these people get ready for work, and I'm thinking, why can't I be the guy who, you know, gets up, makes coffee, goes out, waters his yard, you know, and goes to work, and his car doesn't veer into the liquor store, you know, to get the pick-me-up to get through the day, or it doesn't, you know, end up in crack dealers before he gets to work or gets to work at all. Why can't I be like this guy?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I would say to myself, well, maybe today I won't do what I did yesterday. And knowing damn well that was just a lie, and that eventually at some point in that day it was going to be back to
it's the same. I mean, the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And we play that scenario in our minds. When you think back, you play it over and over and over again, and you really think it's going to be different, and it never is. never is. You're always waking up doing the same thing. As I heard it put, you know, the best I ever heard it put was, you know, for 20 years or 30 years of my life, I sat on a bar stool talking about all of the things that I wanted to do, and then I got sober and I went and did them.
Yeah, it's like a second life.
Yeah.
At least it is for me. I am going to be celebrating the end of this month, 10 years of sobriety, one day at a time, and that's a miracle. And I know that during those 10 years, I have lived more than I had in the last 20, 25 years of my life, because I'm doing all the stuff that I talked about doing on the bar stool, or wherever it was, on the floor. You know.
On the floor, under the couch, in the closet.
Or passed out in the car somewhere, wherever it might be.
Yeah.
You know, I get to do all this stuff. And I have, you know, I still have fear about some of the things that I go out and do. But you know what? I know that it's no big deal. I just walk through that door, and I enjoy it. I don't have to stress about it.
And the amazing part is that today I don't have to dwell.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? The real amazing part, John, is I get to not alone. I get to do it with other people.
Absolutely. What we're gonna do, Tony, is we're gonna go out to a break real quick. We were supposed to take one about 5 minutes ago, 6 minutes ago, but we're gonna take one now. And at that point, when we come back, we're going to talk, I would like to get into the second and third step, and then I want to talk about your music career, because your music career is totally on an upswing here, and I want to talk more about that. So let's come back right after the break, and we'll talk about the second and third step.
I got a secret, baby, that I shouldn't tell.
Silence calms the mind and rejuvenates the body. God Pillow has been inspiring daily devotions for over 11 years. God Pillows are custom made with love and intention. We encourage you to become part of our community. Come visit God Pillow on the World Wide Web at godpillow.com.
Let me tell you about the Sound Pillow. Sound Pillow helps many people in early addiction recovery who suffer from stress, anxiety, fear, and long sleepless nights to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming and soothing feeling for the mind's everyday distractions. Sound Pillow allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's soundpillow.com. And while you're there, check out the many endorsements from people and addiction treatment centers using the Sound Pillow. Don't lose another night's sleep. Call toll-free today, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. And let the healing begin. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's www.soundpillow.com.
In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for three generations, CBI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience, Canatelli Builders. 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
Attention, the 4th Annual 12-Step Music Fest is coming November 3rd through the 6th in Sugarloaf Key, Florida. 4 days of music and fun, with 12 musical acts along with the Rockers in Recovery Supergroup, featuring Ricky Bird, guitarist formerly of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Liberty DeVito, formerly of Billy Joel, Woody Geisman of the Del Fuegos, Jason Sultan of Todd Rundgren and Utopia, Christine Ullman of the Saturday Night Live Band, and four more to be announced by September. Find out more about this sober Woodstock in Sugarloaf Key by joining rockersinrecovery.com or by calling 877-799-8773.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
In there. Of course, Christine's coming up with us here shortly. And let me tell you, The Deep End is a CD. We're going to talk about it, me and Christine Ullman. Of course, if you don't know who Christine Ullman is of the Saturday Night Live band and has played with everybody that you could imagine. We're going to go over all of that. We're going to talk about some great passions of hers, but most importantly, the passion of music. And Christine, The Deep End, you want to definitely check out the new CD. Go to our website at ChristineUllman.com. That's O-H-L-M-A-N, ChristineUllman.com. And, Tony, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Definitely a CD you want to get, Tony.
Yeah, I've listened to some of it earlier today, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. Amazing. She's just unbelievable. And the amazing part is for me is that when I look back, and I'm sure you feel the same way with your musical career, you know what I mean? You're really so much better now that you're not using. And you get to feel the spirit of the music where you never really felt that before when you were using. I'm sure you did to a certain extent, but you didn't feel it to the point you can feel it today.
Yeah, there was a missing link, you know, and the block was always there with alcohol and drugs. And, of course, you don't know that until you're on the other side, but, man, it's a hell of a lot different today. And,
you know, you're sitting there one day, and you're in the room of a 12-step organization. It doesn't matter which one it is, but you're sitting there because I believe it happens the same way whatever organization you belong to. You're sitting there, and one day you come to believe. You understand that you don't understand anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And the other part of that for me was just to have a feeling in the heart that even if it was only for a brief moment, that everything was going to be okay.
Yeah.
Everything is going to work out. Of course, it might have been fleeting, but I knew it was going to. I knew I wanted that feeling again.
Absolutely. And you get to that point where you're saying to yourself, okay, no, I got to trust, because that's what it's about. It's about having that trust, that open-mindedness, that honesty, that willingness to be able to do what you're asked of. And, you know, you're taking direction. You know, and I like to, the way it was put to me was that the 12-step organization is like the insane asylum being ran by the inmates.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, I needed to understand, and I got better with the fact that, hey, listen, if somebody's been doing it a lot longer than me and they've been doing it and they haven't been using, they must know a little bit more than I do. Huh?
Yeah, that was the first trust factor. It came from those who came before us. You know, I had to really believe. I mean, there was no, when there's no lying going on, you know what I mean? It was pretty obvious. You look these guys in the eye, they were telling me the truth. They had nothing to hide from me by telling me their experience of sobriety and what good things were happening.
Well, correct. You
know, what the hell would they have to lie to me about? So I got it from that. And then, you know, taking it to the next step, you know, when you're talking about really turning it over, that came from the guys, you know, you're talking that were running the asylum with me, you know, right there in the rehab.
Yeah.
And some of them that are still sober today, some of them not, but I remember one in particular. You know, I did my third step with this guy who was a recovering heroin addict, and he came in shaking and baking. I had already been there maybe 30 days or so he was new, you know, in that world, very new.
Uh-huh.
I was 30 days sober, I'll call it that. And his story was like this. He had been in a blackout for about 3 months that he, you know, he fought. And before that, he knows that his wife had committed suicide, and he came and found her, and then he just went off the deep end.
Wow.
So Kevin and I became very good friends, and you know, one night it just turned out that we both sat down and did the third step together. And I'll never forget that, you know, and that was where it kind of started to turn it over to somebody else or something else. You know, maybe it's combined second and third step, just turning my will over and just letting it happen.
What,
you know, a process.
I think it's, and part of that process, I mean, the way it took place for me was that process happened where, you know, I started to trust the fact that, you know, I had to listen to the people that went before me. And I had to have faith that they had faith.
Yeah.
At the same token, when I made that decision, you know, to turn my will and my life over to the care of a higher power, that higher power for me, because let me tell you something. At the very beginning, me and God weren't seeing eye to eye on anything.
Yeah, well, I'm in the same boat.
You know what I mean? I didn't even want to hear it. You know what I mean? Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear it. But at the same time, what they did was they said, whoa, you know, take it easy. Easy does it. You don't have to swallow this whole thing right now. Are you willing to move on to the rest of the steps? Are you willing to make a decision to move forward? So it was that simple. And you know, there's such confusion sometimes around the fact that people need to, you know, have the God experience at 2 and 3 when it's really not even supposed to happen until you're, and it doesn't even have to be a God experience. It has to be a spiritual experience, whatever that is for you.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an individual case, is that when you get to 12 by working the steps and maintaining the steps in your life on a daily basis. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you said the magic words, which is you got to work through the rest of the steps to get there. And I don't think I was thinking that initially, and I don't remember really struggling too much with it. But what I do remember is that when you mentioned having an issue with God, you know, I had, you know, like, and you could follow me, this top three category of the 4 steps, you know, was who I'm pissed off at. You know, he made the top three. And that's okay, you know, and I had to figure it out, and I had a lot of help with that further on down the line. And, you know, I had been told you can make anything your higher power that you wish, And what I really grasped on was really the power of the group or a group of drunks, group of other people, and that worked because I was seeing it from both ends, John. I was seeing people that came from before me, and I was hearing their stories. And then when I got to a certain point that, you know, I had been at this facility for, you know, a month, 2 months, whatever it was, then I could see guys coming in, and I wasn't seeing any of this in me and any of the change, but I was able to see it in these guys.
Yeah.
To come in and in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something different, 4 weeks, 2 months, whatever it was, people were changing. And that was right before my eyes. And you just can't deny the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm blessed in the fact that I get to be able to see that whole thing unfold in front of me. And I think you're right. We don't see the changes. You know, as you're going through the trials and tribulations of life, and, you know, there are certain things that you're going through, and then somebody walks up to you and says, you know, hey, you know, it's amazing where you were. You know, I just went through this, you know, we had this concert this past weekend down here, and it was, you know, I mean, we had like close to 3,000 people come through there. And of course, you have the stages that you're put. You know, you got the stage you're putting up. You got the sound company that's 2 hours late. You got, you know what I mean? You're going through all of these things, and as I'm standing there, I mean, somebody that knew me for years walked up, and they could just see the look on my face, and they walked up and they said, "It beats living under a bridge."
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
And, well, that's no big deal.
At that point. You know, you got to laugh. You know what I mean? Because how important is it?
That's the magic thing. How important is it, man? It's, in no comparison to where we've been.
Absolutely. How important is it? So where are you at with your music now?
Well, I'm in a real great place. I've been able to, you know, shift gears. You know, I haven't been doing as much as the photography as I have in the past several years, and just time-wise, I get so many hours in a day, and I need to do my routine. And now that routine involves some self-discipline on my own, a little bit more practice. You know, I've devoted an hour a day to me time for playing, you know, practicing, and learning some new stuff.
Wow.
I need to do. And along with that have come the opportunities. I'm doing a lot of different stuff right now. I'm playing a regular gig once a month with this guy by the name of Bobby Kyle, who's a wonderful, talented songwriter, blues musician, has played around and toured for years with the late Johnny Clyde Copeland, Sonny Rhodes, who just passed, and Bobby learned from the best, and I am blessed to be able to play with him on a regular basis. We have a regular gig once a month, and then some spot gigs that pop up here and there. I've got another guy that I've been playing with who's local here to the Pocono region. His name is Chris London, fantastic guitar player, songwriter. I do a regular thing with him with a version of his group called Calico Jack, which is sometimes four-piece, sometimes six-piece with some extra horns. And we just got a last-minute spot gig down at Shawnee Resort. That'll be coming up Tuesday, which is a free concert, which is great.
Cool.
And I've been even playing a little jazz, which for me is a challenge. That's what I was taught. And, of course, you know, because I'm an addict and an alcoholic and all-knowing, at the age of 13, told my jazz instructor after he showed me how to play Carmine Appice's basic rock beat that I no longer needed his services. You know, I went on my way. And, of course, you know, you're not supposed to regret anything, but I do regret that decision because this man was a wonderful and talented jazz drummer, and I could have really, you know, expanded my horizons, and I, you know, I chose my own direction, which so be it.
But, you know, here's the good news. The good news is you get to carry that on, and you get to tell somebody that might be getting ready to make that same decision.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of young people and say, don't be closed-minded, you know, be open-minded. Pick up anything you can from anybody who's willing to teach you and, you know, learn what you can. And this guy had a lot to offer, and I turned him off. And that's okay. I mean, I know that today. And the message is, yeah, I got to share that with somebody so they don't make the same mistake. But I've been doing a little bit of that. I just did a gig here at a local jazz club called the Deerhead Inn, which the community is Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, which is well known for some outstanding jazz musicians, Bill Woods, John Coates, Bill Goodwin, all top-notch players in the world of jazz, which, you know, I've never really felt a part of because of my background and different styles of music I'm playing. But I'm brushing up, man. And I'm in there, and I just played a gig last Sunday at the Deerhead with a local singer. Her name is Bonnie Childs, wonderful vocalist and a keyboard player by the name of Danny Latuka, who I'm blessed to be able to play with people in that fashion. So, but life is good. God has been presenting me with these opportunities. I don't know why. That's just what I'm doing right now, and I'm going to continue to keep doing that. I'm still going to be doing some of the photography. We got a festival coming up, the Hone Steel Roots and Rhythm Festival coming up Father's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
After that will be the Pocono Blues Festival is no longer, but the gentleman who's running that has found another venue. And it will be the 20th anniversary of the festival, but they had to change the name because of the wonderful people that he used to work for. But now it's the Pennsylvania Blues Festival. So it's really going to be the 20th year of the Pocono Blues Festival, called the Pennsylvania Blues Festival, which, for anyone who doesn't know it or hasn't heard about it, one of the best festivals in the country, the Pocono Blues Festival. But it is now the Pennsylvania Blues Festival, the last weekend in July, the 30th and 31st, now at the Blue Mountain area versus the Big Boulder Ski area.
Well, it's funny, man. I'm going to be up there at that point.
Well, there's some great talent. There's Kenny Neal's going to be there, Magic Slim, John Nemeth, Shamika Copeland, this new woman who I have not seen but have heard so much about, Shakira Saeeda, Betty Levette, who I won't say anything and speak for her, but I believe that she is in recovery. I can't validate that, but
yeah. Well. We won't break that anonymity tonight. we'll leave
anyway,
that one alone. But you know something? It seems like you, because when we first started hanging out, you were really geared towards the photography end of it, and you were getting back into the music. And it looks like, man, in the last year, you really took a full swing on the music end.
Yeah, it's been that way. It's I did a couple events last year. That was the highlight, certainly being at Crossroads again.
Yeah.
Even though it was a little weird being out there in the middle of the stadium, which is not what I didn't get what I expected. Imagine But hey, I did get to meet you and have a great day. So.
Hey, listen, they fed us pretty well too.
Yeah, it was a good day, man.
Yeah.
All of that. I was thinking about it the other day. I've been blessed. And, when I got back from that experience, things kind of changed in the opposite direction, and that's okay. That's one of the beauties of being sober. I don't have to fight anything. I don't have to be disappointed that I'm not doing that anymore. I'm doing something else, which for me is better at the time, and, that's okay. I'm cool with it. Believe it.
Well, maybe we can get the camera back in your hands one more time for November 3rd through the 6th for the 4th annual 12-step music fest. You know, the one you were supposed to come down to last year.
Yeah, that date is that date could work because November is not really too bad. I do a little thing where I go out to the West Coast always the end of September into October, and when I get back. That there's really nothing happening,
and it's getting cold as long as
I can get permission.
And it's getting cold.
It's getting cold. You got that right. I need to go away somewhere to make it through the winter here. But hey, it's not that bad, man. I love the change of seasons. We have had some beautiful weather up here the last several days. So I'm looking right out of my backyard, and I got these beautiful green ferns. A lush green lawn, and
with a little bit of snow left up in the corner.
No snow left, man. It did snow through the end of March, but we got through that. It did pass.
Well, I didn't. Hey, listen, by looking at the news reports and talking to the different people, Ricky Birdie came down in February to do a show, and he came off the plane February the 11th, we had the show on the 12th, and he was in, it looked like he was like the Nook for the Eskimo.
I know that look.
Said, brother, you're in South Florida now. You can strip all that stuff off. And then the next day it dropped 20 degrees. Go figure.
Yeah, it gets cold in Florida too, man. Don't be deceived.
That's
almost 10 years down there.
We don't want to tell people that.
Yeah, I learned real quick that, you know, there are some cold nights. Be ready. And you have to adapt, man, wherever you are.
Well, here's the amazing part. You know what? When I start to complain that it's 55 degrees out, and it's like, you know, five in Poughkeepsie, you know, people let me know, hey, listen, you know, stop complaining. we're gonna have to go out to another break. When we come back, I'm going to finish up with Tony. We're going to get ready for the top of the hour with Christine Ullman, of course, the singer of the Saturday Night Live band. And Christine, we're going to talk about the deep end. We're going to talk about other things. We're going to have some fun. Me and Tony have been having a blast here talking recovery, talking music, talking all kinds of good stuff. Hang with us right here on WWNN 1470 AM and rockersinrecovery.com.
I never was one for the shallow water, never afraid of the dark. Hard to handle, it's got a broken kind of off when I have to walk. And maybe I should live.
Let me tell you about the Sound Pillow. Sound Pillow helps many people in early addiction recovery who suffer from stress, anxiety, fear, and long sleepless nights to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming and soothing feeling for the mind's everyday distractions. Sound Pillow allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's soundpillow.com. And while you're there, check out the many endorsements from people and addiction treatment centers using the Sound Pillow. Don't lose another night's sleep. Call toll free today, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. And let the healing begin. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's www.soundpillow.com.
My name is Charles Becker. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
Silence calms the mind and rejuvenates the body. God Pillow has been inspiring daily devotions for over 11 years. God Pillows are custom made with love and intention. We encourage you to become part of our community. Come visit God Pillow on the World Wide Web at godpillow.com.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
Yeah.
sometimes kills the old spine. It does. And Christine Ullman, the Beehive Queen, will be here with us in about 10 minutes. And I want to, of course, thank my guest, Tony. Tony, you're the bomb, man. Great guy. And I can't wait to see you. I'm going to make it a point to be up in the Poconos up there in Pennsylvania coming up here at the end of July. And I'm going to be actually, go figure, Tony. You're not going to believe this. Are you sitting down, Tony?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to take 2 weeks off. Everybody in the control room just laughed.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Well, you know, you got to say it, right? You got to say it.
You got to speak it into existence, Tony. Yeah, yeah.
If God wants you here, you're going to be here, and I'm sure that He wants you to take 2 weeks off because you know.
I'm figuring it's one week for every year that I kept going straight. So
yeah, okay.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And I'm not talking like straight recovery. I'm talking about like nonstop work.
There's all directions, man. We pick up other things.
Oh, hey, listen, you know, the good news is we get to have fun with our recovery. We get to have fun. But most importantly, we get to know that this is a serious matter. And you know there's levity in the fact that we've come from some of the places we've come out of, but to go back there or to think about you know that as an option in your life today, you know if you're in that position today, you're in recovery and you're in that position where you're saying to yourself, you know something, a drink might be an idea. Go to a meeting. Try to do something different. Pick up the phone. Call your sponsor. If you're sitting right now and you're locked up and you're listening to us, let me tell you, life can change. It can be drastically different than what you're experiencing right now. If you had told me or if you had told Tony, you know, even you know, a couple of years ago or 5 years ago for Tony or 10 years ago for Tony and 5 years ago for me that my life would have been beyond my wildest dreams, which you did tell me, people did tell me that in the rooms, I'd have said you were crazy. But today I understand it, but there has to be work in it. Nobody's just going to – I don't believe that the 12-step fairy is going to come through and sprinkle bust on you and one day you're just poof going to be sober. There has to be some effort in it and on your behalf. But I was told if I put that effort in that it would be beyond my wildest dreams. And I have to put that effort in every day. Would you agree, Tony?
Yeah, it's a daily thing. It's a daily reprieve. What do they say? It's a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual condition and – That takes a little work, and it's not anything like that's that painful, you know. I mean, I put myself through a hell of a lot more pain to get out there and do what I needed to do on a daily basis than I ever will have to do in recovery. That's how I feel about it, you know. And I start the day, you know, in a positive note. You know, I just ask for a little help, and then I go out and do what I got to do and hit a meeting, try to help another alcoholic. A recovering addict, you know, when the opportunity presents itself, and it certainly does. You know, you got to be reminded, man, this thing is devastating. It's not a joke. I joke about it all the time, but, you know, you read the paper, man. You see, there's, you know, turn on TV, read the paper, turn on your computer, you know, guys passing away. But you would think, how does it happen? Yeah, and I know how it happens. They didn't get the gift that I did, and they maybe they weren't ready to, for whatever reason to work for it. I don't know. Not the answer. My life is beyond my wildest dreams, man. I got something here I want to read, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I have a friend of mine. His name is Tracy, and I met Tracy back in 2004, I think. And I met him at a meeting. Tracy had just gotten out of another treatment facility, and Tracy and I became some pretty good friends. And I've never met Tracy's mother, and I know she's up there in years, and I was supposed to go to a birthday party, and it never happened, and I sent her a little card, and I got something back from her. And it just, you know, message to me doesn't keep me in the game of you know, what I get out of this. You know, I don't know what could. But anyway, this little note here she wrote back to me, basically, I'm grateful he has such positive friends in his life, referring back to Tracy, and he has always spoken very highly of you and your family. Tracy has not always made the right choices, who would who would know that better than Tracy's mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
but I'm happy that he has you in his life. I look forward to meeting you soon, perhaps one day this summer. Again, thank you for being a positive light for my son. God bless you. Philly. And, you know, I didn't do anything spectacular to deserve that letter, but it came at a pretty, it came in the mail one day, and I was having a pretty crappy day, and I opened it up, and I read, had nothing to complain about, man. I got good things going on in my life. I am able to be available. You know, that's the number one thing I tell myself every day. If I don't pick up a drink, I'm available for whatever it might be. I could be going in November down just to Florida to see my friend John and have a good time. Well, not if Dad doesn't have any plans, but it doesn't matter. I know I'm available to do it, you know.
Absolutely, dude.
Wonderful thing.
Well, again, Tony, thank you for being on with us. We're going to have you back soon, and I will hopefully be seeing you very soon also. Again, you know, it's always an honor and a pleasure to have you on my show. And God bless you and your family, and let's talk over in the next couple of days just to catch up, too.
All right, John, I appreciate you calling for the opportunity to speak tonight, and you have yourself a good evening. Enjoy that interview, man. I know you're going to have a good one tonight.
Christine's the bomb. We're going to have a blast. Tell your friends to go buy her CD, too, for me, will you?
Of course. I always have to support the musicians, man. That's a key thing.
There you go.
All right, John.
Thank you,
take
brother.
Take care. You guys have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Yes, bye-bye.
It's my boy, Tony. We're out. We're going to be back here in about 6 minutes, 7 minutes with Christine Ullman, the Beehive Queen. We'll be back right after this message.
I got a secret, baby, that I shouldn't tell. I make it best, but I'll never get away. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you got a child, that boy, right out of your head. Now I'm walking on the back street, crying to myself. Love motion in my veins, I can't help myself. I feel you like a Negro under my skin. I need a kiss under my medicine. Kind of like poison in a pill, like a runaway train with a wide open bottle. Your chemical reaction on your feet. There's nothing I can do about it. A child like that, there's no way I can live without it. You both fell on me, that's blacker than a cat, and a baby, baby, baby.
The preceding program is a Rockers in Recovery radio production. Rights to this program are the sole rights of Rockers in Recovery Radio, Incorporated. Rebroadcast of this program in any form without express written consent is prohibited.
Tension and stress take their toll, but now, at the age of 72, when I start feeling the aches and pains, I head straight to the office of my personal chiropractor and good friend, Dr. Murray Beller at Belfort Doctors Center. With a medical doctor on staff for prescriptive care when necessary and the best massage therapist in the business, Dr. Beller supplements chiropractic care with non-invasive acupuncture, electrotherapy, and ultrasound. If you're experiencing pain from a sports or an auto injury, call Dr. Beller today. He is located 2 miles south of Commercial Boulevard on the west side of University Drive, just behind Hooters. Call 954-766-4672. That's 954-766-4672. Tell them Steve Kane sent you.
Here's hoping you're healthy and wealthy. South Florida's Health and Wealth Radio Network. AM 1470, WWNN, Pompano Beach.
Jim Newcomer, Midas Resources, June 6th. 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,544.30. 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,583.35, $791.67 for a half ounce, or $3,954.